Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with Lee and Sam. And Sam, if you'd have said going into the international break, City would be first in the league, I think generally that would be accepted. Second would be Spurs. Third would be Liverpool, both with 10 points. I think we'd take that, wouldn't we?
Stop.
You're quite happy a second, are you?
Yes.
Well, maybe you should, but I have seen a few Spurs accounts saying that you could do better than that this season.
Right. Eighth. I'll remind everyone that we were eighth last year. We played no European football and we've been knocked out of the League Cup this week. I will bite your hand off for second place in the league.
Second place would be bloody excellent, wouldn't it? And two very good performances. We are going to be, I'm afraid, quite unashamedly smug tonight, well, aren't we? Because for Spurs to rack up five goals against away at Burnley is very good. And for us to go and beat Villa 3-0, get a clean sheet.
So we'll be smug when talking about Liverpool and Spurs.
Yes.
And then we'll come with our tail between our legs.
Yes. The reason we are going to be really smug about our teams and be really over-enthusiastic and happy about Liverpool and Spurs is because when we talk about our FPL teams...
In the mud.
It's completely in the mud. Completely in the mud. Fine margins, though. Fine margins. I'm looking at both of our teams, particularly my team, and I'm like, if Jackson puts that away, that sitter. I noticed, actually, in the Scout members area, Jackson is second for XG underachievers this week with an XG of about one. It's minus 0.99, by the way, about one. I think that chance that he had, and you all know the chance I'm talking about, the Jackson owners definitely know the chance I'm talking about, that was one in itself. He's like, how can he miss? How can he miss? Absolutely ridiculous. But listen, we will talk about the malaise at Chelsea a bit more as well, because who saw that coming? I mean, what's more out there than Spurs being second, Liverpool being third, and Liverpool keeping a clean sheet, by the way, is that Forest got an away win at Stamford Bloody Bridge. Incredible, incredibly incredible.
Just for a second, just to park FPL for 1 minute before we actually talk about
Can
FPL.
We just park FPL full stop on this week?
No, but let's just park it for a minute before we actually start talking about it. But
bad.
Wasn't it a great weekend of football?
Like, oh, some great Barclays going on this week.
Some great brilliant results.
Oh, very, very good.
Weird results, some great matchups, some really, I really enjoy football this weekend, I'm just saying.
Brilliant individual performances as well. Go on.
Even the game on Saturday lunchtime where we both took one look at Sheffield United Everton and were like, should we go out for lunch? So we went out for lunch and we just sat there having lunch with the kids and then we were like,
Actually quite a good game.
Should have watched that game.
Actually quite a good game. Some brilliant individual performances. Of course, Haaland, everyone's captained him. So basically the base points for this week is like 40, right? Because everyone's captained him. But some very good individual performances. Evan Ferguson for Brighton and Hove Albion against Newcastle United. What a performance, young man, by the way. Take a bow. He looks every bit the Premier League player. Some brilliant goals. Some fantastic movement from the young man. He looks really, really good. And some great performances all around. So we've got loads to discuss. Of course, Sam, we have now got an international break coming up as well, haven't we?
Yeah,
so we've
England.
Now got...
Oh, I'll be able to cheer on Harry again.
You'll be able to cheer Harry back on again. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can swap your Spurs shirt for your England shirt. Cheer Harry on again. And we can all get excited about England being world champions again. So we've got a bit of an international break.
Euro champions.
Whatever, just champions or something would be nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
So we've got the international break coming up. A couple of weeks worth of breather from FPL, let's say.
Not planning to wild card?
It's not out of the question.
I thought you were going to say definitely not.
It's not out of the question. Leading up to that Arsenal-Manchester United game, I was 10-20% going to do it and 80-90% not going to do it. I think now, and you're in the same problem as me, by the way, I think Onana's a big problem now.
Oh, yeah, but...
I think he's a big problem. And that's another transfer I've got to make. And I'm just looking at my team thinking there's three or four transfers there that I would want to do. And is it worth a while?
Enough.
I don't think it's worth... I don't think I'm going to. I think the answer to your question is no, I'm not.
Yeah.
But I've not ruled it out. But I don't think so. I think it's just because I've had a bad week. Like this time last week... Great week. Great week three was brilliant. And I was like, this don't need a wild card. It's amazing. I'm just going to swap João Pedro for Jackson. Job done. Because Chelsea's fixtures look good. All of a sudden, we get it's going to be described as a frantic game week, right? With some annoying stuff happening in FPL from my team's perspective. Like Jackson not scoring that sitter. Like Brian Mbeumo. Well done, Brian Mbeumo owners, by the way. But I've not had him all season. He gets yet another you know, 93rd, 94th minute goal. And by the way, he deserved it because he was great and his underlying stats are brilliant. So it's just me being bitter, right? If you've got Brian Mbeumo, brilliant. He looks great. But again, gets to the like 90-something minute. And even in the United and Arsenal game today, it's like the first two goals were what? Odegaard and Rashford? That's rank killers. Both rank killers for me. So I was looking at that thinking, yeah, do I want a wild card? I don't know. I've got no Liverpool in my team. We're doing really well. We seem to be back to a degree. I don't know. But anyway, lots to discuss. Lots to discuss.
You weren't saying that halfway through the Newcastle game last week.
No, I was not. I was not. But Nunes is back and I'm here for it. I'm going to get hyped for Nunes. Oh, and get it all over again. All over again. Let's say hello to a few people. FPL Harry is in. How are we doing,
Harry?
Mate? Very nice podcasting with you on Monday this week on Off the Bench.
That was a really good pod, by the way.
Great pod. Really enjoyed it. It's always me and Harry. It's just dream team, isn't it? Dream team. Who's it this week on Off the Bench?
Focal and Az.
Another dream team, to be fair. All the pairings. You've done a good job there, pairing up right people. Me and Harry, good chemistry. Az and... Who is it?
Focal.
Az and Focal.
Literally just told you that.
Az and Focal. Good chemistry. Alpine012, welcome
to
the live stream.
Well, I could put myself with Az, could I? You'd accuse me of...
No, you can't do that. No chemistry there. Alpine021, Onana has been awful. Yeah, not good.
He's called the banana.
Yeah,
Onana
not good,
the
not
banana.
Good. We've got to be careful what we say about Az, because Yelena is here. Hey, Yelena.
Yelena.
How are we doing, Yelena? Benched Matty Cash this week.
Thank
for his own
God
goal.
For that.
She, I think, tweeted in capital letters, "Hallelujah, I benched Matty Cash for his own goal." There is still the scars of what happened to Yelena and Matt
She'll
Cash in game week 3. It is a never forget moment. It's a never forget. Benching a double digit haul like that. Hate to bring it up, Yelena. Sorry. Nice to see you, though. Kenz is in. How are we doing, Kenz? Evening, both. What a week of footy. And he says Spain tomorrow. So it sounds like Kenz is off on holiday tomorrow. Very nice too, mate. It was an absolutely awesome week of footy. Really, really good. Duncan Crawford is in. How are we doing, mate? Nice to see you. Just don't know what to do with my team at the moment. Smiley face. I feel the same. I feel the same. We're going to talk about our teams, both of our teams, a bit later on. And I feel the same, Duncan. I'm not really sure where I'm at with it. And it's weird, isn't it, this ridiculous game that we play? Because this time last week, I was sitting here, or even this time at deadline on Friday, I was sitting here thinking, my team's in good shape.
No,
and
but
I'm happy.
This is
now I'm unhappy.
But this whole season, I think, is going to be like this. Because because people talk about templates, and to a certain extent there is a template, but to another extent there's also sort of like three different templates that are all working at the same time. So some weeks you're inevitably going to be on the right template picks, and other times you're going to be on the wrong template picks, like the Rashford Bruno divide. Last week it went in our favour with Bruno, this week it's gone in our gone in the Rashford
against
owner's favour.
Yeah.
The Diaby factor, last week it went in our favour, this week it's, you know, it's different, and it's the same every... Like Eze, it was Eze this week, wasn't it? But Eze's owners have been in the mud for the last 3 weeks, so I don't blame them for getting the points today.
The Eze owners deserve that.
They deserve
today.
It for
they
being
deserve
loyal.
It.
But all of those, like, 50-50 or 25-25-25 calls every week, you're going to be on the right side of some and on the wrong side of some, which is why I think a lot of people are having like great weeks, terrible weeks. Like, it's a roller coaster this season.
Totally true. Totally true. Andrew G is in. How are we doing, mate? Son has to play striker now, surely. Hey, listen, I think we're going to start there in a minute. We're going to talk about Spurs and how the tactical change or the change of personnel that Ange Postecoglou made at the weekend. Is Richarlison done? I mean, we're going to answer that question in a minute because Spurs...
Last time you said someone was done as a player, it didn't go well, to be careful.
Well, maybe it's the kick up the backside he needs, because this season he's not been good. Son has been too far wide, and as soon as he changes it, and I thought Mana Solomon was really good, by the way, at the weekend.
He's really good, he's really good.
So it's not as if you've got some duffer coming in at left wing
really
to replace Son. You've got Mana Solomon who's done really, really well and looks hungry and looks like he wants it and doesn't have tantrums like Richarlison. You stick Son in the middle and bang, done. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Joseph Maloney, Eze and Alvarez doing the business for me. Yes, Alvarez owners, well done. If you had him, some lovely points. A real Batman and Robin show from Haaland and Alvarez. The dream team doing it. I mean, he's absolutely... He was a real right-hand man, wasn't he, to Haaland this weekend. He was sensational. Really good. Daniel Skipsey is in. Nice to see you. Hi, Lee and Sam. I'm with Onana as well. What do you reckon to do with him? Well, we're going to discuss... that game, and we're going to discuss Onana a little bit, because, listen, any defence that is going to rely potentially on Maguire and even Johnny Evans is not a defence that I want to be investing in certainly not. Certainly not. We're going to talk about that a bit later on. Chatterbox 5200 is in. How's the transfer window affected your future plans? We'll discuss a little bit about the transfer window. Was impressed with City's new boy in the right hand side there. Do you like Doku?
Yeah,
pretty good. Liked him. FPL Tom Red is in. We've got a whole host of you guys. Andy Natras, one of our members. And if you guys want to become a member just like Andy is and have your name and comments highlighted, then there is a little join button right next to the subscribe button. We'd love you to come and join us and support what we do here at FPL Family. All right, Sam, let's get on to the games. Let's go to here. And let's go and talk about everyone's favourite second team at the minute, Tottenham Hotspur. Burnley 2, Spurs 5.
Wait. They're not everyone's favourite second team.
Because
I love them. They're my favourite team.
Yes, but anyone that doesn't support Spurs...
What about the Arsenal fans?
And maybe... okay. All right, you got me. But for most, I would say, and maybe I'm biased because you're a Spurs fan and I've got a lot of Spurs friends and all the rest of it, but I love to see it. I think what Big Ange is doing there is great. I love him whenever he talks. He's absolutely no BS whatsoever. He's a classic Aussie and I love it. I think the celebrations, although I think they're a little bit, the darts thing's getting a little bit boring, but still, the fact that they're all doing it together and do it with smiles on their faces. To see Son bang a hat-trick and to be like the Son of old over the weekend was like, hold on a minute. This doesn't feel like what we usually get from Spurs. What we usually get from Spurs is loads of potential and everyone gets hyped and all the Spurs fans think they're going to win the league. And then it comes crashing down because it's Spurs, right? But this feels different. It doesn't feel like that. I don't know. How does it feel from your side? It feels different, this.
Yeah, I mean, I took a photo of the league table last week. So it's weird because you're absolutely right. Like, normally, Spurs do well. We start the season all right.
Yeah.
And I go,
yeah,
okay, great. When's it all going wrong?
Yeah. It's inevitable that at some stage it'll come crashing down.
It's all going to go wrong. And then it sort of did in the League Cup in midweek. And then, but because he fundamentally changed everything. Like, he took everyone out and he played this second string team. And it really showed the difference between the second string team and the first team. However, we went to the cinema when the Spurs game was on Saturday. And as we were going into the cinema, we were 1-0 down. And it was weird because normally, if we'd have been 1-0 down, I'd have been raging about it. And it would have ruined my mood. And we'd gone into the cinema and I'd have been really annoyed about that. And it would have played on my mind. But it didn't. Because I was kind of like,
we'll come
back from that.
Yeah.
Now, when we came out of the cinema and I looked at my phone and it was 5-2 that it had finished, I was like, wow, okay, now I want to see this.
So tell me about it from an FPL perspective then. So you've got Sonny, who's done largely, like, let's be honest, largely nothing for the first three game weeks because he's playing with Charlison and he's sticking in wide right. And we saw it even in pre-season in the game that we went to against Shakhtar. Sonny was wide left. And as soon as I saw it, I was just like, watching that game in the stadium, I was like, I'm not picking him. If he's going to be out there, wide. I don't want him.
Yeah.
And that was exactly the right thing. Bang. Game week 4 completely changes it. Sticks him in the middle. Bangs a bloody hat-trick. Not just that, a really good hat-trick as well. Manos Solomon comes in, who I want to talk about. James Maddison, who genuinely I think he's as close to essential as you can get in FPL right now. He's just the heart of everything that you do. And I was asked on the FPL show on Friday where I would rank the three of them in terms of Maddison, Sterling and Foden. And I was the only one that, out of the three of us, I think Praz and Harry were on as well, both went for Sterling. We've got to talk about Chelsea in a minute. But I said, Madison's my one. I think you've got to have Madders right now. So he's popped up with a goal as well. Noticed, interestingly, that he was second overall across the whole game week for shots. He had 5 shots, Maddison. Joint with Son, who also had 5. Only beaten by, can you guess who had the most shots this game week? It was 7. Edouard for Crystal Palace. Random,
I mean, actually, watching that game, he was always around, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But that just shows you how clinical Evan, Ferguson and Haaland were. But listen, Maddison, 5 shots, 1 goal, always in and amongst it. So from an FPL perspective, where are we going now then? Because if you look at the fixtures, and we can look at the fixtures because I've got this lined up, here are Spurs fixtures going forward. So Spurs have got Sheffield United at home next. Then it's the North London derby.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's us. But listen, anyone can score against us except Aston Villa. Then it's Luton and Fulham. So there's games there where you can get goals. And in particular, Sheffield United at home. I fancy a bit more than just Maddison for that.
Yeah, and also I think, you know, I said this a couple of times in recent weeks. North London derbies are always quite high scoring. Liverpool Spurs is always quite high scoring. So the North London derby is at the Emirates. So going there is always a bit of a feisty affair. Like, and we saw today that there's goals that you can score against them.
Oh, Harry's backtracking now. Here he goes. I did not. I put Madison top and I bought it.
Oh,
all right.
Lucky okay, story, right. Harry. We'll the believe Chelsea you. Fan. We'll
believe you, Harry.
Thousands wouldn't. Let's watch it back. Love you, mate. We've got it on record, haven't we? So we can watch it back and we'll clip it. And we'll either prove or disprove you there, Harry.
He's bound to be right, by the way.
He'll already have a clip lined up.
He will, correct.
So, you know, there's goals in that. And I think the way that Spurs are playing right now, there is a real confidence in the team.
Yeah.
And I think in previous season, now, I'm not going to sit here and say anything negative about my dearly beloved past Harry. However, what I will say...
He's not died.
It feels like it. Oh. However, you'll understand in a week when Salah's off to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, here we go.
Saw him crying today. Getting ready to board the plane, saying goodbye to Anfield in tears. Yep. Bye, Salah.
I'm not going to cry.
You are.
I deserve every bit of it, though.
How much have I got to say to make you cry on this show?
No, I'm not going to cry about Salah leaving. Listen, we're getting 150 million from him or whatever.
200,
right?
I think.
I don't know.
So, anyway, let's leave Salah aside. But what I think has happened at Spurs is that when you take out the player that everybody relies on, or that they've all been told is the best player, what you end up with is a team that then actually knows they have to be together, they have to be a unit. And Postecoglou has created this environment where they want to play for each other. And I was not a big advocate of Son being captain by any stretch.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
I wanted Romero or Bentancur or Maddison. They were the three I wanted. Instead, I got Romero and Mad as vice captains. Now them three together.
I actually forgot you've got Bentancur.
Got to come back. Yeah. They are a triumph. Them three together as leaders because they do very different jobs. Romero's calmed right down and is actually channeling his anger. He's not getting frustrated.
I read a bonkers stat earlier. Sorry to interrupt you. I read a bonkers stat, which is that Romero and Van der Ven, your new centre half, neither has committed a foul yet.
Nope.
In the Premier League.
Not that they've been punished for.
Not that they've been... Okay, fair enough, but they've not... Yeah, so, all right, fair enough. But, yeah, no fouls
no
against...
No fouls given away. No.
Which is crazy to me, particularly for Romero, who's a complete lunatic, by the way. Still convinced he is. But there's something about Van der Ven and the way that he's controlling that. He's obviously come in. He's calmed Romero down a little bit, as well as Ange. They're reading the game better. Because if you're not giving any fouls away... To me, that says you're reading the game a lot better. And Van der Ven's made a big difference in it in a short period of time.
But in the past, Romero had nutters next to him who couldn't be relied upon.
So we
had Sanchez or, I mean, I love Eric Dier, but Eric Dier, people that you couldn't really rely on to be solid defenders. Plus, he was also dealing with Royale when he was an absolute lunatic on the other side. And he it was just defensive clowns.
Right.
And Romero, in the middle of it, just getting really frustrated and angry and probably getting sent off, getting booked every 5 minutes. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's a different feeling at Spurs right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's all about to collapse either. The players are working together as a unit, and that is something I have not seen since Pochettino.
So, Sam, people are in the chat saying this is not the We Love Spurs podcast. This is the FPL family live stream.
Is.
So what are we
it
doing?
Is.
In? I tried to guide you down that line, and you went off on another Spurs tangent. What are we doing with Spurs in FPL?
Well,
I want to know about Porro. I want to know about Sonny. Come on, who are you picking?
So Son's only an option if he continues to play him in the number nine.
Why would he not now, though? Do you know what I mean? Richarlison must be done, surely. Come
I've
on.
I've said this before. I think Richarlison's done? So Postecoglou is a very clever manager, but he's also not going to suffer fools lightly. So if he thinks that Spurs are going to be better without Richarlison there, he won't play him. He's not going to play him to try and help his ego or anything like that.
No.
Now, this was our best performance so far by a long way, with Son in the number nine, with Manus Solomon, I thought was fantastic, out on the other side. If he continues to play that format, then Son becomes an option again. With Brennan Johnson arriving, there is a little bit of doubt in my mind as to where he goes, because he would normally sit in Kulusevski's role. Now, we did need an understudy for Kulusevski, but is Brennan Johnson an understudy for Kulusevski?
Not sure. Yeah.
Could he play in the number nine as well? Like, I now think there's options. He could play Brennan Johnson in the number nine with Kulu and Son out wide. That would make Son less attractive to me. He could play Brennan and substitute him around with Kulusevski. which so, keeps Sun there. So what I'm saying is I think it's difficult with Sun until, and the problem is that with Sheffield United up next, that's the game you would want to invest in him if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think we need to see over international break what happens, obviously. I wouldn't do anything now. I'd wait. Unless you're wildcarding, then it's different.
He's too expensive an asset, in my opinion, to dive in, I think, right now.
Unless he's, unless you get guaranteed certs that he's going to be in the number nine position. Maybe. And I think he probably will. My feeling is, after that performance this week, that's...
It'd be crazy to change it, wouldn't it?
It would be crazy. However, crazy to change it. Unless, you know, Richarlison's going to go off with Brazil over international break, so Son's going to go off with South Korea over international break, so we do have to wait it out. If Son continues to play in the number nine, he alongside Maddison, and it is alongside Maddison, because if you haven't got Maddison, he's still the top pick at Spurs, in my view.
For value, yeah, it's great value.
I think you have to have Madders. You could double up and go with Sonny as well, if he continues to play in the nine.
Okay.
I think you've got a wealth of options at the back. Now, I picked the only defender that didn't return this week.
Yeah. That was an interesting one for me, Van de Ven. I must admit. So you brought in Van de Ven rather than Udogie or even Romero. I can see why you might go for him over Romero. But over Udogie, I just didn't get it.
It was a tight call for me between Van de Ven and Romero. They were the two that I was umming and ahhing about. But Van de Ven was just the one I kept going back to because the underlying stats were really nice, particularly for bonus points. Like he was looking like, and I was thinking if the clean sheets, I didn't see us winning 5-2. If the clean sheet sticks, he's going to be in the bonus points because of how influential he is. Udogie will get some attacking returns, of that I'm certain. There was I just fancied Van de Ven. And not in that way. I just fancied him in FPL.
Because he looks like Toby Alderweireld.
Yeah. Looks a bit like Toby. So it's a long-term hold, so I'm not worried about that. It's just, you'll be there and that's fine. I think a defender makes sense for next week. Like, I mean, viably, you could triple up for next week, but then you've got to be aware, obviously, that you need some, for the defender probably, with the North London Derby and then the FPL Family Derby, you probably don't want a Spurs defender on for those ones. But I think there's plenty of opportunity at Spurs now, which is really nice. But get Madders if you haven't already.
All right, okay, that is more than enough about Tottenham Hotspur.
That's never enough.
Nigel the Crab is in. Hey, Si, how are we doing, mate? He says, evening, Mr. and Mrs. B. Good evening, mate. The wife wildcarded and got 91 points. Flipping egg, good effort. She doesn't even understand the game. my wild card is active. Still not taking any hits, by the way. So there we go. You see,
you've turned over a new leaf.
It's not out of the question, I would suggest. It's not out of the question for me either, Simon. I have to say to you, I am very much leaning towards not. I'm going to see how I feel in the morning, I think. I don't feel great about my FPL team at the moment, as you'll see in a minute. But I'm going to wake up in the morning, I think in the cold light of day, I'm going to look at the first four game weeks and go, hey, you're in the top million, it's okay, right? But let's see. Moving on from Burnley Spurs then, because that's half the podcast gone, just on Spurs. Let's talk about what happened at Stamford. Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Thanks everyone for tolerating that.
tell us what happened at Stamford Bridge then. What on earth meant that Nottingham Forest could go to Stamford Bridge and beat Chelsea 1-0, a team that is not that great away from home, but... bossed it. They bossed it. Awoniyi was brilliant again. Elanga with a really great finish. Chelsea, when I looked on, I watched his highlights of this on Match of the Day yesterday. And you know how Match of the Day put the little graphic of the substitutions, don't they, in the bottom left-hand corner? And they had, Chelsea made like four changes over the course of like 8 minutes. Pochettino brought four players on. And there was like, okay, well, these guys are going off and these guys are coming on. And over the, when I looked at the four that were coming on, I'm like, there's no depth in that Chelsea squad. They've spent like over £1 billion on players. And the players they're bringing on are like average players. I'm not being funny. I think there's still something not right at Chelsea. And I'm telling you, let's have a look at the fixtures now. Where's my fixtures slide? Here we go. Fixtures. So Chelsea have got Bournemouth away next. That's not easy. Aston Villa at Stamford Bridge. Not easy. Fulham, which is their local derby. Burnley away. Arsenal. If Pochettino doesn't pick up some results...
Oh, no, stop this. Please stop.
I've been saying it since the summer. Sam, I don't care who you are. If you're a Chelsea boss and you've already lost to West Ham and you've lost to Nottingham Forest and they don't pick up 9 points out of the next four or five games...
They will.
He'll get sacked.
But they will pick up 9 points.
Where? Tell me where they win. Fulham away. All right, give you that.
Who else was in there?
Bournemouth away.
They should win.
They
that.
Should, but I'm not saying that's a given, is it?
It's not a given. Villa at Stamford Bridge? I'll be surprised if they win that, because Villa are decent. I don't know what happened to him today, mind you, but I'd be surprised.
Their high line got the better of them, didn't they? And that's why Klopp decided to play Nunes, getting in behind.
The reality is, I think, my view on this, is that Chelsea are... They're still learning about themselves, and they're doing that what they did last time around. There's loads of new players, they're learning new systems. Last week, they played against Luton. And...
Yeah, what does this say about Luton?
Okay, so, but, well, exactly. I think we all... or a lot of managers, got a little bit excited about Chelsea and thought, right, that's it, Sterling's back. Now, Sterling actually, over the last couple of weeks before that, had looked much better, much more like himself, but hadn't returned yet. The game against Luton, they were absolutely great, Chelsea. Like, they were great. And I could understand why people were flocking towards them. And I could understand why Sterling was the most transferred in and Gusto was one of the most transferred in. I got all of that. However, having now watched them play again against Nottingham Forest, who are way better than Luton,
yeah,
there was a disconnect between the Chelsea we saw versus Luton and the Chelsea we saw versus Nottingham Forest. It's the same team.
Because you didn't dive in on a Sterling or a Jackson, did you?
No, I didn't.
For that reason, you thought, it's Luton. I've missed that, so I'll move on.
Yeah, so I was like, watched them against Luton and I was really impressed and I wanted to use the Luton game as an opportunity to work up which Chelsea player to get to. And the Chelsea player that impressed me the most was Sterling. I wasn't impressed by Jackson. I know he got the goal against Luton, but I just wasn't really that impressed. I don't particularly like him yet. I think when he gets some rhythm going, I might. But I don't particularly like him yet.
Mm.
Now, Sterling, I like. But the problem I've got is, I mean, they didn't all do very well for me this week, but I like my midfield. And I wasn't prepared to sell any of them for a man that performed just against Luton.
Yeah, fair.
So
yeah, fair.
That's my feeling on Chelsea.
What's going on with them, though? Because in pre-season, I mean, you're right. We're all hyped about them, right? Because the summer series, they were great. You know, we had Jackson and Nkunku. And I genuinely think he's a big part of the problem, right? Big part of the problem.
They were really good with Nkunku.
Poch set up a system, was like, right, you're my main man in the middle, gelling it all together and being generally the fulcrum of everything that's good in the attacking third.
Yeah.
Loses him for months.
Yeah.
It's a massive blow, bigger than we thought.
Yeah, and lost Reece James as well. So, you know, and I'm not saying Gusto's not been a good replacement, but nonetheless, you lose your captain and you lose the guy that's coming in to be your number nine. And that's quite difficult to deal with. Like, I've been there, like Liverpool have been there. You lose key players, you have to kind of reset, start again, think about who's going where.
But you can't get around, and I'd hate to sound like somebody out of Talk Sport, but you can't get over the fact that they've bought Enzo for 100 million. I thought he was actually all right, to be fair. There's a stat I noticed about touches in the opponent's half. He had the most touches in the opponent's half from any player this game week. So what does that tell you? That tells you that he is still playing in that more advanced position.
Yeah.
But it's just not happening for him around him. The likes of Mudryk,
no.
Absolute pony.
But Enzo Fernandez is a great player. Chelsea have got great players. They were actually quite creative. Their XG was actually quite good in this game.
Okay.
However, they're not finishing their dinner. It was the same as last season. I think they would have with Nkunku there as well.
Mm.
On his own, I don't think Jackson yet has the confidence yet. He's young. He's new to the Premier League. There's a difference between playing in the summer series and playing actual Premier League football.
But he ain't got time to adapt. This is Chelsea Football Club. You've got to come in and do it.
Well, yes, you do. But equally, at the moment, there's no one else that's going to take over from him.
Right.
You know,
I will have 20 quid with you now. Christmas Day, Pochettino's not Chelsea manager.
No, I'm talking about Jackson. I'm talking about Pochettino having time. I'm talking
I don't
about
know about the rest of them, but Poch will be sacked by Christmas.
Oh, my God. What I'm saying is that Jackson, I think he will get there. I think he's just going to take time to get used to the pace and the difference of the Premier League. But it's difficult with Chelsea because you should want to invest because the fixtures, yeah, they're a little bit mixed. There's a couple of difficult games in there, but the reality is they've got teams like Bournemouth in there. You should be looking at that and going, that's prime Chelsea territory. I should be investing. The issue is, outside of Chilwell, I'm really struggling with who.
Yeah, totally. Joseph Robinson hits the nail on the head, in my opinion. Poch is good, but with billions of pounds spent on average players and no chemistry between them, that's what they're missing.
But,
they're missing the chemistry.
But the thing is, with Poch, and I said this when they hired him, if you're going to hire Pochettino, You cannot do what PSG and other teams have done. You have to give him time because he's a project manager. He's going to come in, he's going to start a project, and it's going to take a couple of years. It won't immediately work. It didn't immediately work at Spurs, but over time it will. Chelsea will have to be patient with Poch, and they'll have to allow, they will have to, if it's going to work. If they want Poch
it's
to
Chelsea
work...
It's Chelsea you're talking about.
I know it is.
Okay, good, just checking.
If they want Poch to be a success, he will have to be given the time to bed in, to get those team, to get that team moving in the right direction. Whether they give him that time is another matter. I hope that they do, because I think it would be...
For the podcast, this is I'm shaking my head. Duncan Crawford, thank you for the super chat. He says, Chelsea have won one more game over the whole of 2023 than Haaland has goals this season. Nice stat, Duncan. I like that mess. Very good. Yeah, Chelsea in the mud. But listen, I'm not about
What's
to take out Chilwell, and I'm not about to take out Jackson. I only brought Jackson in this week. So I've got to kind of stick with him, I think, for these fixtures. So, yeah, not good from a Chelsea perspective. Anything to say on Forrest? Awoniyi, back amongst the points again, just with an assist this week, which breaks his run of seven Premier League games scoring in a row. But a nice tidy finish from Malanga. These two, talk about chemistry that Chelsea don't have any. These two do have it, and they look pretty good.
I like Awoniyi. Every time I watch him, I like him. He just seems to be... Now, look, might be a purple patch, but that's what we want in FPL, isn't it? Invest in players for purple patches. The other thing I like about players like him, and like Nottingham Forest and the slightly mid-table, lower-table players, is that less of them will go away on international duty over this break. So they're going to have a couple of weeks working together to get things going again and to work out any things that they've kind of struggled with in the first 4 weeks. Whereas your big clubs, most of those players are going to go off on their international duties to get less time with them in terms of the manager. So for teams like Nottingham Forest, who have also gone massive in the transfer window, by the way, again.
Got five players on deadline day, pretty much.
Yeah, then, you know, they will be ones that potentially need a little bit of... time working together.
All right, well, let's go bring it all the way back up to the game that we've just watched, which I thought was one of the games of the season so far. Really, really great game at the Emirates today. 3-1 Arsenal versus Manchester United. Can Manchester United feel a little bit aggrieved? I mean, Garnacho's goal, which they thought won it for them in the 80-something minute, ruled out offside by, again, it can only be pixels, can't it? It's just ridiculously hairline offside, crazy. And I feel for Garnacho because he's such a young player, and for that to go in for him would have been huge, right? Because I think then United probably shut the door. They'd probably win that game. And Garnacho's the hero. But in the end, it's not him. It's Mr. Declan Rice that pops up with a goal. 3-1 to Arsenal. What are we saying? Yeah, from an FPL perspective, difficult one to navigate, right? Because a lot of FPL managers have got Arsenal and United assets playing each other. How do you feel now owning Bruno and Onana and Saka, which is the three that you've got, right?
And Saliba.
And Saliba, yeah.
First of all, I'll start by saying it was a brilliant game. It was absolutely brilliant game of football to watch. Was I a neutral? I think I was, because I didn't really want either
Never
of these
teams. Never an Arsenal player.
No, but I didn't really want either of these teams to win, so I think I probably was a bit neutral in this game. I was hoping they could both lose, which obviously I knew they couldn't. But it was a brilliant game of football to watch. And it was the Man United go at one end and score. I was like, God, it's Rashford. That's a rank killer. And then 35 seconds later, Odegaard killed rank a bit more at the other end. And I was like, this is a disaster.
Wipes out the Onana clean sheet, which I wasn't confident of getting anyway, to be honest with you.
No, and I think that's the bigger talking point. Like, for me, Bruno Fernandes... So Saka gets the assist today for the late goal with Rice. Fine. 4 points, whatever it was, we'll take it. Bruno, I mean, I don't feel hard done by. I don't think he did. I don't think there was a lot there. There wasn't a lot of points for him today, potential. But what I will say is that I'm not overly worried about either of them. Like, I'm not actively looking to sell either of those two players. Because
did you not think that Rashford looked a lot? He's looked a lot better.
Yes,
on the left,
he's been out on the left,
a lot
absolutely.
Better. And if I was, again, that's another thing that's sort of swaying me slightly
but
towards
would you
Wildcard.
Go for Rashford?
I'd swap Bruno for Rashford now. Yeah, that he's left, and that Hoyland's coming to the team.
Interesting. So, if you wildcarded, you'd still keep a Man United midfielder.
Well, that is a good question. I possibly wouldn't. Let's have a look at the Manchester United fixtures going forward. They are Brighton at home, which, by the way, De Zerbi ball going to Old Trafford.
Interesting.
Not an easy game, right?
No.
Burnley away, Palace, Brentford and Sheffield United. Yeah, on paper, it's all looking pretty blue, according to the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker. But what are you saying then? If you were to wildcard today, no Manchester United? Because presumably you wouldn't be keeping Onana either.
I'm not saying no Manchester United.
Right.
But the midfield spots are quite important.
Yeah.
There's Højlund now up top because he's played his first game. He's got some minutes. Would expect that after the international break, he's going to start every game. So that opens up an opportunity, doesn't it? Because we know that Rashford is way better when he's out on the left. We would expect to see in those matches that are coming up more attacking football from Manchester United potentially. And therefore, maybe he's an option. So this is a reason why I'm not wildcarding right now because, well, one, I don't think my team needs it. But also because what I'd like to do is give Højlund that game against Brighton to work out whether I think it's the right thing to do to move Bruno to him and swap how my Manchester United investment is working. Because
here's a good question for you. Adam Stevo, thank you for the question. Would you, Sam, if you were wildcarding right now, would you go Son over Rashford?
Yes.
Hmm. Good question that, Adam.
I would for the Sheffield United game.
Tricky one, isn't it? Tricky one.
I'm pretty convinced that he will play Son again in the number nine for Sheffield United. Whether he stays there for the rest of the season, I don't know.
Yeah.
But right now, I think he probably will. So,
okay.
I think I probably would do that. I think, for me, I'm looking at whether I need a Manchester United midfielder. And I don't think I know that yet.
All right.
Because I haven't seen enough of Højlund. But what I have seen enough of is the banana that I've currently got in my goal. Because Onana...
You want rid of him?
I wanted rid of him last week and then didn't.
Where would you go then if you were going to transfer him out?
I think there are plenty of other options. Now, actually, the options that I would go to be honest, none of them kept a clean sheet this week.
There wasn't many clean sheets
around at all.
Because
there wasn't many. Like, I would have... if I wasn't already invested in the Spurs defence, and for a lot of managers they won't be, Vicario, I think, is a really nice option. Particularly if you pair him up with a cheaper one that you can play during the North London Derby and the Liverpool game. I really like Edison again, and I can feel myself already going back down there because I don't know how I would invest in them. The Man City defence is an actual minefield to me, and it gives me a headache even thinking about investing in it. So Edison is up there for me, and I kind of feel like going set and forget on Edison again feels like the way that I can find myself going that way.
Okay. All right. And then Arsenal from an FPL perspective, top for chances created, joint top for chances created, Saka this week. So again, ticking over. Joint with Alexander-Arnold and the aforementioned Manor Solomon, by the way. So there you go. There's an indictment to how well he played on the left-hand side for Spurs with five chances created, top, joint top throughout the game week. So Saka chipping in, ticking over with the assist, no issue there. But Gabby Jesus back on the menu, potentially.
Yeah.
Ødegaard with the goal.
Martinelli. I was impressed by Martinelli today.
Martinelli did play very well, I agree. I thought Dalot did a pretty good job on him, given that Martinelli did seem to be banging the mood. So Dalot needed to be on it as well, and was for the majority of the game, from what I could see.
But also, we didn't have Gabby Jesus on the whole game. He came on, looked good, obviously got the goal at the end, and he took it so well, that goal, didn't he?
Like, it was
took
nice,
it so
yeah.
well. But what I would say is that Saka for me is just a non... Oh, the cat's coming. We had to leave the door open because it's so hot here. Now the cat's here.
Here he is. All right, cat? Hello.
Hello. and what was I saying? Gabby. So came on... took the goal so beautifully. Now, I think Saka's
literally
a hold.
Just come in here to whinge and then he's left.
He's left. He's just come in, said hello and gone.
Literally come in here, gone, meh,
just
feed me,
hello.
And now I'm off.
I give him some treats before we
you
come
did.
On.
You did. Excellent. Oh, good.
You've interrupted me twice now. I'm trying to still make this point.
Gabby Jesus.
Twice. Well, actually, the point I'm making is that, so Saka, I think you have, but Martinelli and Ødegaard. Now, it sounds a bit ridiculous to say this, given that Ødegaard scored today and I thought Martinelli had a good game. But I also think if you're talking about the midfield spots, Gabby Jesus has got to be an option. Rather than having the double up in midfield, you could double up by having him up top. Because I'm looking at my midfield thinking there's so many players I want there that investing in another Arsenal player there is hard. But investing in Gabby Jesus, I think he looks like a good option.
Does, yeah, particularly when the forward options are a little bit loose. You guys in the chat quite rightly said it was Wan-Bissaka up against Martinelli today. You're quite right. I got my United fullbacks mixed up. But that was a good battle. I enjoyed watching the game. I thought it was one of the best games I've watched so far this season. And Arsenal, yeah, they march on. I mean, listen, the Rice goal, when you see it, guys, and if you haven't seen it already, it's There's a bit of fortune in it, right? He's got his back to go. He sort of hits it on the turn a little bit blindly. I think it deflects off of someone. I don't even know. Johnny Evans is kind of being blocked. So there was a bit of an inquest about it. So there's a little element of luck. But listen, you did what it is. You know, last minute, he even come out after the game, didn't he, Rice? And said, look, it's the last minute of the game. I'm going to take a shot, just see what happens. And then the Gabby Jesus goal is only because United are bombing forward, right? But for sure now, I'm concerned about Manchester United from a defensive perspective, particularly as I'm invested in Onana, because if they've got any combination of Evans or Maguire or anybody like that in there,
well, this is another,
that's a problem.
This is another reason I want rid of Onana, because if they've got injury problems at the back,
they
keep getting worse. So if you're going to have to start Maguire and Evans, even against some of the, you know, against Brighton, it's Brighton next, right?
Yeah.
Against Brighton, you've got to start Maguire and Evans. I'm sorry, but Brighton will come and they'll score against you. And
they'll fancy that Old Trafford next week.
The week after.
Fancy.
But, I mean, it might be that the players are back because it's international break, right? So they might come back before then. So it's a watch. But
all right.
Onana, he can absolutely do one out of my team because I've had enough.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Let's move on, Sam, because we've got to rattle through some of these games. Let's talk about the... let's not talk about Haaland too much because everyone's got him. We all started on 40 points this week. Three goals and assist, absolutely ridiculous. But talk to me about Julian Alvarez, because his owners enjoyed a nice little haul there of a goal and two assists and the two bonus points. Foden chipping in with just the single assist. What are we saying about this now? Because Foden, I thought, was one of the better players on the day. When I was looking at the highlights, he was absolutely in the middle of everything, pulling the strings, a brilliant player, you know, everything, all great. But it was Alvarez that's getting in the positions alongside Haaland to get the FPL points. So at the end of the day, we play this game for the points, not for the nice performances, right?
And I must admit, going into game week three, the decision I had to make was, do I go for Wissa and Foden or Mbeumo and Alvarez?
Yeah.
And of course, I made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Now, Foden has not been bad. And I'm not by any means suggesting that Foden is a bad FPL pick, because he absolutely isn't.
He's been chipping in, isn't he? Two assists in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but the reality is, had he actually been fit to play the game last week, I think he probably would have got more than that.
Yeah, possibly. Okay, possibly.
I don't think Foden is a bad pick at all. I think the difference is, at the moment, Alvarez is just doing bits every week. And he looks really good alongside Haaland. That little partnership that they've created is really, really nice. And it's not detracting from Haaland. It's actually making Haaland look... Weirdly, it's making Haaland look better again. So I think Alvarez feels like... If you're wildcarding, I'd go Alvarez as my second City over Foden.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need to make that change. Like, I think Foden's got potential for hauls in there as well.
Alvarez third overall for BPS across the whole game week. Of course, Haaland was first. Of course, your man Evan Ferguson was second. Brilliant performance from him. Mm. And then Julian Alvarez in with 51 underlying BPS. So, listen, it's Haaland, of course, hoovering up the bonus. But Julian Alvarez, 51, was more than any other forward across the game week outside of Haaland and Ferguson. So love it. Really good performance and a really nice haul for his owners. City now conceded the odd goal here and conceded again against Sheffield United last week. So you're thinking of getting on Edison. I've been on Ruben Dias for 2 weeks now and they've conceded the odd goal, which is frustrating, but I think it's okay. Look, if you want to go City defence, it's pretty solid, right?
Yeah,
pretty
the early part of the season, there's never a lot of clean sheets. It's normally around the first international break that we start to see the tightening up of the good defences.
Yeah.
So I would expect to see more clean sheets from the likes of Man City over the next few weeks. I would expect to see the sort of the beginnings of the tightening up of the defences that are going to actually be good for us this season.
Yes.
So this is the point of time where you kind of want to be thinking more about how you're invested in the defence, I think, because everything starts to settle a bit in terms of the amount of goals.
All right, good. Quick shout out to Haron Mohamed. He says, I triple captained Haaland this week. Got 60 points from him. 94 overall. Moved from 300k to 37k in the world. Haron, that is nice, mate.
Very nice.
Shout getting Haaland captain at home to Fulham this weekend. Very, very nice indeed. Let's talk about Liverpool. Oh, I want to dance with Sir Barsley. What a player we've got here. What a player we've got here, Dominic Szoboszlai.
Can you just remember that you told me to keep it short with Spurs?
Yeah.
So go on, go say a bit.
Okay.
And then
did we keep it short with Spurs though, or did we prattle on for half an hour? I think we prattled on for half an hour, didn't we?
Let's talk about Salah leaving.
That's fine. I'm absolutely comfortable with Salah leaving. It's no problem.
You?
Yeah.
You're comfortable with Salah leaving?
I don't want it to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. But it could. And if it does, it does. It does, it does. It is what it is. Because we've got other players, right? When I look at our squad and I look at the players around him, we've got some absolute players. Whereas I thought when Harry left Spurs, you'd get relegated. But actually, turns out you're half decent. Actually, it turns out
you got a new relegated.
I thought if you've got Conte and no Kane, you're screwed.
But we didn't have Conte.
But actually, you've got a decent manager now, and you're all right. But Liverpool 3, Aston Villa 0. I was as surprised Savage. As anybody to see the clean sheet, no doubt about it. As Ken's Bronzegrove is saying, thank you, Ken, for the super chat. Szoboszlai is one hell of a player. Two man of the match in 4 appearances. Listen, you have players like this come into our league and it normally takes them some time to get going. Now, this might be a little bit of a honeymoon period. I don't know. We haven't watched the game. I haven't watched the game or any highlights yet because we don't get it here in the UK. On Sky, they decided to show bloody Palace versus Wolves, didn't they? So all I had to do was just check in Twitter for the Liverpool updates, which was crazy. But this kid is mustard. He is mustard. I know McAllister's the one that's won the World Cups. He's the one that's coming from another Premier League team. We've got Gravenberch as well coming in now as well. But Szoboszlai looks decent. He looks proper decent. And I'm very, very pleased. Probably not. Well, no. Because the midfield slots are so precious. And you're not going to be spending one on Szoboszlai, I don't think.
Let's talk about an FPL asset that you could get.
Go on.
Let's have a conversation about Darwin Núñez.
Yes, let's talk about Darwin Núñez. Wilco is in. He sent us a super chat.
Oh, God, is he?
He says, Szoboszlai is better than Maddison.
Oh, shut up, Wilco. So Wilco came in the Slack earlier and said this.
I read
his comment. I just thought, I'm not even rising to that because that's pointless. And then
you just did rise to
it. What I love is that the guys in the Slack rose to it and then he immediately went, oh, I've got a couple of reactions out of you lot. React to him.
He's like just poking,
isn't he? I have to react to him now because you've read his super chat out. He's paid for a reaction. I have no choice.
So Wilco not only says that, but he also says Darwin in question mark. What are we saying about Darwin
in?
Top for XG underachievers because that is what he does, right? He will rack up the XG like you wouldn't believe and miss goals, but still got the 2 assists today. He should have scored. Like the Matty Cash own goal, he should have scored. Now, that's what he does. He misses, but he's still in those positions.
I think I'm right in saying he had 5 shots today. All of them were off target. Didn't hit the target once.
That could be true. I don't know. But listen, he got the goal that then come off the post and hit Matty Cash. He's got the assist because he's in the right area to flick it onto Salah. He's in all the right areas. And when I say all the right areas, that's because, as we've said many a time, he doesn't do any work. He's a lazy bugger. And he did put some work in today from the little bit that I've seen and heard on Twitter. And I think Klopp, again, tactically got it right because Villa play that high line and he gets that burst of speed. His acceleration is good and his pace is good, right? He doesn't work, right? He doesn't do any work like Jota or Gakpo or any of those guys moving defenders around. He just sits in the box and waits for service. And when Villa have got that high line, he comes out with the high line and then he just gets in behind it. It was perfect today. It was perfect. So to answer your question about should we now get Darwin Núñez in FPL, I still don't know. I still don't know. Because when we play against a team that doesn't play a high line, like Aston Villa, does he go back to Gakpo, Jota, etc.? Because Jota still, and I say it every single week, still Klopp's favourite because Jota is the one that presses.
So when Salah goes to Saudi Arabia...
Yeah, go on.
So let's just for a second imagine that happens on... Before Thursday, because it's Thursday, it's got to have happened by.
Yeah.
What would that do to the layout of that team? Would that make Darwin Núñez more likely to get
starts? I think so, yeah. Because who goes wide right? Jota, probably.
Yeah. So it'll be Jota with Diaz on the other side and Darwin up in the middle.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't like Jota wide right, by the way, because I prefer him in the middle doing the work, but still...
Okay, here's my view on Darwin. I blimmin' love him. I literally love him. I absolutely love Darwin Núñez, as we know from last season.
You never know what you're going to get.
I love that.
You genuinely don't know if he's going to headbutt someone or get a hat-trick. You don't know. And in FPL, that is frightening, but it can be massively upside.
I love him because he's absolutely insane. You just don't know what's happening. You don't know what you're going to get. The problem I have with him is the starting thing.
He comes on last week, got two goals.
I know that. But as you said, and Yelena, if she's still here, will testify, he's either coming on to get sent off or he's going to win the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
you never know.
I appreciate that he might come on and get something off the bench. He might also come on, get booked and nothing else.
I want to hear from Klopp. I want to hear post-match today, which I haven't watched yet. I want to hear throughout the week. I want to hear maybe over international break. Maybe I actually think the international break's come at a bad time for him, right? Because here we are, bang, bang. Newcastle, Aston Villa, two great goals.
Is he going away on international duty?
I don't know, probably, right? But it's come at a bad time for him because he's just got some momentum.
Yeah.
You'd want to be playing like next week now if you're Nunes.
Yeah.
And he's just going to maybe just lose that momentum. But listen, he's a confidence player. He's another emotional guy, right?
Let's have a look at the fixtures for Liverpool, please.
Let's have a look at the fixtures for Liverpool. Wolves up next, isn't it? Yeah, Wolves away, West Ham, then it's the Spurs game, Brighton and Everton.
See,
A lot will be put off by that 7 and 8.
If I was wildcard and I'd get Darwin in, he'd be my third.
Yeah.
Because at his price, he looks decent for that money. He looks a worthwhile punt.
This is the thing. He's not expensive.
No.
This is it.
And he's not a midfielder. So in my view, I look at that front line and Jackson, Alvarez, yes. He'd be your second. So it's Haaland and Alvarez, I think, if you're wildcarding.
Yeah.
And then the third is out for debate. So there's Ollie Watkins, who I'm not impressed with. I'm not impressed with, but I'm also not that impressed with. Like, I think Diaby's a better pick if you want to go Villa.
Not impressed with.
Jackson, who I'm not that impressed with right now. Pedro, who's probably going to start getting a few more starts with Welbeck out, but I actually thought he was excellent. Maybe we'll talk about Brighton in a minute. I thought he was excellent, but no points. There's Evan Ferguson, who I thought was excellent, but will he play like that every week? Don't know. The Brighton fixtures are a bit tough. And then there's Darwin.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him
I'm
going...
Here for it. I love this.
Gabby Jesus as well.
Great narrative. I like it.
So I'm looking at that going, all right.
Stop it. You're going to make me wildcard. Stop it.
I could... Well, I'm not opposed to just transferring Darwin in this week as my free transfer.
The way that I look at it, and again, small sample size, I'm getting all hyped up about just this week and it's stupid. Somebody tell me to shut up. Thank you. But when I look at Chelsea and I look at Liverpool and I go, one team is free-flowing, scoring loads of goals, got loads of options, always constantly attacking. One team is fluffing their lines, can't put it in the back of the onion bag, except for against Luton. So do I want to buy the striker who's nailed on? Is he nailed? Would you say Jackson's nailed on now? Right, let's say he's nailed on. Although he does get dragged off, right? But let's just say the 70 or 80 minute player from Chelsea, it gets the starts, and yeah, they're not scoring tons of goals. Or do I want Darwin, who if I see him on that team sheet, you know he's scoring or getting points, right? And even if he's not, you know he's coming on at some stage, right?
I want him.
You're going to make me wild card, Sam. I don't like it. Don't like it.
I wanted in last week.
Don't like it.
After that. And you put me off because you said you didn't think he was going to start because you thought he was going to play.
I didn't.
And it massively put me off because it was the one transfer I really wanted to do last week.
Since when do you listen to me?
Because you are actually... So I learned a couple of weeks ago when Jules was talking about Arsenal that I probably should listen to the people that support the club.
Yeah, I'm an exception.
What I've learned is with you, you don't know what you're talking about when Liverpool So I'm just going to ignore you from now on. I'll pay attention to what he's got to say about Arsenal. With you and Liverpool, take it with a pinch of salt. Because you also don't think Salah's going to leave and he was crying on the pitch today. I've got to get you back for all those times
that's
about
fine.
Kane.
That's no problem.
So Darwin, I really like it. I can see myself. And I know it's a trap. The worst thing is, I know I'm going to fall it. I'm going to fall head over heels with Darwin again. He's going to come in my FPL team. And then I'm going to get the constant, why have I done this to myself? But, I have no Liverpool in my team right now.
And the fixtures don't look too bad.
And the fixtures, there's a game in there against Spurs, but we all know what normally happens. Although it's not Conte Mourinho game anymore. It's Postecoglou's game now. So, might be different. But I suspect goals in that game. Right. And I would like a way to invest in the Liverpool attack. And I just keep longingly looking over at Darwin Núñez thinking, yep, I can find myself falling in love again.
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
No.
Clean sheet and assist.
One good game does not change my... Did you genuinely think know the answer to this because I saw your reaction when I told you the team sheet today, that there was a clean sheet there for Liverpool today.
No, 100%
absolutely
not.
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. So, and going forward, Virgil, I don't know, did his ban get lengthened?
Don't know. I haven't looked into it.
Not sure. But either way, Liverpool defensively haven't looked solid. I don't think Trent's worth the money you've got to pay for him.
Well, Joseph Maloney's on the Darwin train with you, Sam. He says, I have Darwin as my third option. And also, Nigel the Crab is saying, Darwin is the ultimate impact player. He is. Listen, I go, obviously, watching a lot of Liverpool YouTube and stuff, I just go on vibes and narratives, as you know. And there's a vibe last week or so about him. There's a vibe. And I think now that we've got Gravenberch in, and now we've got Endo in, and we've got some CDMs actually that can play six. I know Gravenberch's probably more of an eight, but I think he's probably going to end up playing some six games for us. You've got a couple of players that can actually defend in that midfield three, and you've got McAllister and Szoboszlai who cover so much ground. These two work so hard, it's ridiculous. Like Trent loses the ball, Robbo loses the ball, doesn't matter. McAllister covers Robbo, Szoboszlai covers Trent. It's perfect. It's exactly what you want. And what happens is, when you do that, and you've got the legs in midfield, and you've got a CDM that can actually defend, you can afford to carry a passenger up front. And let's not beat around the bush. He's a passenger, Nunes. In terms of work rate and pressing, right, he's a passenger. Now, I'm willing to, anyone that's seen the Liverpool game, tell me I'm wrong. If I watch the highlights and he's pressing tonight, great. I'll take it back. But he's a passenger when it comes to pressing. But you can afford to have that. And the risk reward is that he'll get goals because he's always there in it. He's always there.
Look, I'm with you on the Darwin thing, but I'm not with you on the Trent thing yet. I think Liverpool would have to keep more. For him to be worth nearly 8 million, because I think he's had a price drop, you've got to keep clean sheets. This is his first return. It was up until this point, there were 57 goal defenders who had more points than him.
True.
He was on four. True. So yes, all right, he's got a clean sheet and an assist today. But I need to see that regularly if I'm going to spend that much money on Trent. Right.
Five chances created, top in the game week. Just saying. What else do you want to... Sam, we've been prattling on for an hour already. What else do you want to discuss? Sheffield United 2, Everton 2.
Pickford, sell him.
Pickford's rubbish, and get Cameron Archer because he's now a 4.5 forward.
So, yeah. Like, if you do find that you want a midfield five now that you've upgraded because you want to put Son in there...
He's the
Cameron
one.
Cameron Archer... is a gift to us all.
He's the one to have. And Bomo gets another goal. Again, bit last... Oh, there goes the setup. Sorry. Just kick the camera over. And Bomo gets another goal. Brentford 2, Bournemouth 2. Not much else to say about that. And, we do need to talk about Brighton Newcastle, don't we?
What a game this was!
It was a cracking game. Newcastle's fixtures look good. I'm sitting there hovering over Gabriel to Trippier as my transfer over the international break.
I can't believe you've still got Gabriel.
And then not... really thinking that's a good idea because Newcastle defensively didn't look great. Or was it just an Evan Ferguson masterclass here? What was going on?
No, I think their Newcastle defence don't look great. And I know that the fixtures are about to turn, but also is the Champions League is back.
Brentford, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Ham, Crystal Palace. It don't get much better than that for Newcastle.
But the Champions League is back.
Yeah.
And...
God, their group, by the way.
Their group is awful. I mean, actually brilliant.
It's brilliant. Listen, but it's brilliant, brilliant for them.
But it's awful. It's, in terms of trying to get out of it, it's awful.
Yeah.
But in terms of the group...
I can't say they get out of it, but
it's amazing. It's an amazing group.
Yeah.
And what a fantastic experience the Toon fans are going to have during those home games, right? But from a getting out of the group stage, difficult.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that you have... there's not an easy game in the Champions League ever, really. So you don't ever get loads of rotation in the same way that you might around the Conference or the Europa League, which you can rest everybody in your group. Apart from McAllister's got to play against his brother. Love that.
Yeah.
But what I would say about that Champions League kicking off is that with the league fixtures like they are, if there's an opportunity to rest anybody anywhere, it's in those league fixtures rather than in those Champions League matches, which they will want to try so hard to get out of that group and they'll want to put on performances to remember in the Champions League. I don't know. I don't think Newcastle are going to suddenly not play all their best players in the Premier League. I don't think that's going to happen. But what I do think might happen is that we might just... I'm not convinced by them defensively at all. Okay. They're not look solid. Nick Pope's had a few mistakes in him so far this season. Trippier, I don't think, is worth the level of investment that you've got. The The Botman thing was, I thought, going to be an issue, but I don't think it is now. I think he's going to be, his team's all right. So,
and what about Brighton then, from that perspective? So you look on the ticker and you go, okay, well, Man United away next. That's a red fixture on paper. But listen, they've got no defenders and they've got Onana in goal. Then you've got Bournemouth at home. Okay, Villa away, Liverpool gets a bit more tricky. But you, I think if you've got Mitoma, March is stooping and they're sudden, you're suddenly holding them for them next two, aren't you? And you're worrying about Brighton in probably seven.
I mean, I sat here last week and said, I don't think you can sell a Estupiñán, and I still don't think you should be selling a Estupiñán.
Nah, keep him for the next two.
I mean, look, he was a Callum Wilson goal away and 10 seconds away from a clean sheet against Newcastle. I've never been so raging in my entire life, by the way, about that.
There's no greater FPL pain than a consolation goal that wipes out a clean sheet for one of your defenders.
And
that
as is, the ball was running so through, I went, no consolation goals, please. And immediately, and I was like, I'm raging.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not worried. And I think, you know, even as a Joao Pedro owner currently, I am pondering on moving into Darwin or downgrading him into Cameron Archer. If I needed the money, I would absolutely do that. But there's also a little bit of me that's looking at Joao Pedro with the Welbeck injury, with the Nciso injury, and thinking, well, actually, that the pair of them, Ferguson and Joao Pedro,
does it work?
It worked.
Yeah.
The pair of them in that game, they were great. And I know De Zerbi has said that Joao Pedro doesn't work hard enough. Well, my God, that was a player that worked hard. He worked so hard in that game and he played brilliantly. That was a player that was proving a point, in my view. He went and he listened to what De Zerbi had said and he proved a point. He was great. No returns, but nonetheless, he was great. I'm not as keen to get rid of him as I was maybe last week, the week before.
Yeah.
Because I think now there's, with the injuries that have come and with that performance, I think he gets an opportunity. And with the United defence that they've got to come up against potentially in game week 5,
I think
that there's scope there for Joao Pedro to get something. So I'm not worried about owning them. And you know, if you want to go for a punt on Evan Ferguson, maybe it's a bit points chasey to do it now, given what happened this week and given the fixture next week. But Brighton, I don't think they're a team you need to de-invest in because of fixtures. I think you can hold them.
Certainly for the next two.
Of course, you do have to consider the Europa League. So maybe it's at that point you have that conversation.
All right, Sam. Well, that's pretty much all of the games. So that's it then.
We don't need to talk about anything else, do we?
Not even time to talk about how good Palace were against Wolves today. No time to talk about how crap Luton were against West Ham in their first game at Kenilworth Road. But we are going to discuss a couple of things before we get to our team, Sam. One is the FCAs. As most of you will know, we are trying to get to the Football Content Awards. I think it does close today. So any last minute votes, guys, would be much appreciated. Footballcontentawards.com/voting. So after the stream tonight, all the links are in the description below. Just got to head over to the Football Content Awards website. Find the bit where it says Fantasy Football. Vote for us in video. If you've got a few extra minutes, vote for the official Fantasy Premier League podcast as well under Best Podcast.
Thanks, darling.
Because it genuinely is the best podcast, so you should vote for it.
Oh, I've not.
Best in Fantasy Football video, we would love to go mainly because it's up at Anfield and I would love to go to Anfield.
What makes me laugh is that Lee doesn't normally come with me to this. I normally go with my scout fam up for this. Because it's at Anfield, so, you know, he's decided what's to come as well. Yeah, so notice he's pushing it.
Push it now, go to Anfield. So yes, if you wouldn't mind doing that, guys, we would love you to vote for us in the FCAs. We've also got to give a bit of a shout out to Amy Gillen, our manager of the month for August. Congratulations, Amy. 207 points was a bloody good August. That's game weeks 1 to 3. Second was some lady called Sam Bonfield. And third was Michael. So congratulations to everybody that took part in our patron manager of the month competition.
Can I just say that I came first in May and second in August.
Oh, well, bloody done.
Does anyone think I should get a prize as well?
No.
I think Lee should buy me a prize. Can we have a little in the chat? If you think that Lee should get me a prize for being absolutely blooming brilliant for the last 2 months of FPL, I'd appreciate if you could just tell him to go and buy me a present. I'd like a Spurs shirt of Mrs. Aldevireld on the back, please.
Amy, your prize will be coming shortly.
I think it might have arrived. Amy wanted a the ladies, England.
The Lionesses.
Yes, the Lionesses shirt.
Great shirt.
I sent it out to her. If it didn't arrive yesterday, it should arrive tomorrow.
So yes, all of our Manager of the Months, every month, will get a replica shirt of their choice. So if you do want to join us in that competition, patreon.com/FPL family is the place to go. And congratulations to Amy in August. All right, Sam. Deep breath.
Where are we going first? Yours
it
or
was
mine?
Crap.
Oh, yours.
66. Overall rank change of minus 219%. 750k. Whatever. Yeah.
Bad mine week. Was worse. Bad so week. Don't worry about that. So,
well, I think we got the same score because we've got largely the same team.
But my rank change was like minus 400 and something.
Yeah, it's not good. Foden got the assist. Saka got an assist, but everyone's got Saka. Madison with a goal because he's a legend. It was the 6.5. You know, in weeks where Diaby does well, I do well. And just so happens that in those weeks, like Mbomo and Mitoma and that don't do well. And then it's almost like the opposite. Like when Mbomo and Mitoma and those guys do well, Diaby doesn't. It's weird. They can't all sort of do the same thing.
No.
So anyway, rubbish. Estupinan, very, very close to a clean sheet, wiped out in the last minute.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Chilwell wouldn't get a clean sheet at home to Forest? Ruben Dias concedes one in the odd six goals against Man City.
Yeah.
Nicholas Jackson misses a sitter. Like, it's a tale of woe. It is what it is. But 66 is utter, utter guff. We're going to move on, possibly wild card over the international break, but I don't think so. I'm looking
Why?
At my, no, I'm looking at my team, and it's only because it's raw, right? It's a Sunday night. We're doing the live stream. I've got 66, which in any given week is actually an all right score, but because everyone's got at least 40, it's like, it's a crap score. So I'm looking at it thinking, I've had a bad week. I really want a wild card, but it feels too knee-jerky. I'm definitely, definitely not going to do it tonight. I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll be like, it's fine.
It's really interesting because we have got a very similar team and I'm not anywhere near thinking about wildcarding. Like, I look at it and I go, all right, it wasn't a great week this week, but I do feel quite unlucky on a lot of them. Like,
well, let's
in
look
another
at your
game.
Team because you've got exactly the same score as me, 66, also rubbish. Midfield is exactly the same. You've got Van de Ven and Visser, whereas I had
Jackson and
Diaz. Yeah, so. Yeah, equally rubbish, right?
Yeah, but I also look at that and go, okay, how many of those players am I genuinely unhappy with? Stop this week. Let's think about 4 weeks. How many of those players am I genuinely unhappy with?
Yeah.
Onana. Literally,
like guy,
Onana is the only one that I'm genuinely unhappy with.
Yeah.
The others I'm not. Even Wisser, I'm not that unhappy with him. He could change, yes, absolutely. But the only one I'm genuinely really unhappy with is Onana. So
haven't
over the
Brentford just signed another forward.
They
why,
have.
Why
so,
about that?
Well, potentially. Well, yeah, but it's more pie.
Oh yeah, so it is. Yeah, you'll be fine.
God, I mean,
back to his old club. He used to play there, didn't he?
Did yeah. Yeah. Just going there to retire quietly, I think. Yeah, I'm not worried about that really. Could I make changes? Yes. Could I wildcard, move Foden to Alvarez, put Mbeumo in there? Yes, absolutely. But I'm not. I don't feel the need. Like, I look at it and I go, I'm fine with this as it is right now. There are a couple of things that I'll look at over international break. I might take a minus four over the international break.
Interesting.
I'm not right. opposed to that.
Have you got one free transfer over the break then?
Yes.
Okay, and what are your thoughts?
To swap Onana out. But then I would look to do something different as well. And one of those things that I might look to do would be to change up the way that I'm invested in the front three.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I've got Saliba who can come back in, obviously, and will come back in for there at the Arsenal game after the international break. So I just need to have a little think about how that team will look. Because my original plan was just Saliba would swap with Estupiñán, he'd go to the bench. But I'm not sure I want to bench Estupiñán against Manchester United, to be honest.
Do you know what? I'm going to say something controversial about my team. So I'm probably going to keep Gabriel now. Because Thomas Partey's out for a few weeks, isn't he? And I'm just like, well, they've got no one left.
You
they've got to play Gabriel.
Are obsessed with Gabriel. I'm just going to put
as
it
well
out
keep
there,
him now.
But Lee is Gabriel's your Darwin Nunes.
Can't get rid of him. Love him too much.
Wow. Who knew? But yeah, it was a terrible week. But I still quite happy with the team.
It's fine. Though. It's fine. You just had a bad week. It is what it is. Same with me, right?
Yeah.
Same with me. The team. The midfield
fine.
Is still awesome.
And
right?
Look, if you just said to me, by international break, you'll be at 250k. I'd have been like, great.
Yeah, you take that.
Fine.
You take that.
So we move and
actually,
yeah.
The difference, so what are we on? Like 258 and you're, so 11 points between us, which is the exact amount of points that was the difference between Gabriel and Saliba in game weeks 1 and 2.
You're not bitter about that at all, are you?
I am still bitter about it. And that's 500,000 places. So is it 11 points, 500,000 places? It's still so early, isn't it? It's still so early.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 66 points for both of us. Absolute rubbish, but it is what it is. We will take it on the chin and we will go again after the international break. Quick shout out to our friends at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Again, never too late to sign up to the home of fantasy football, Fantasy Football Scout. We use all the stuff, and just so you know that I'm telling the truth, the Fantasy Football Scout members area is here and open on my iPad. use it all the time. Pretty much, I would say, a daily... I look in the members area daily at Fantasy Football Scout. I have it as a bookmark on my browser. So they've got the fixture tickers, the player profiles, even the sort of like Hall of Fame stuff, and the fixture difficulty rating tickers, really, really good. And the comparison tools as well, where you can put players up against each other and look at their stats over the whatever time period you want. Really, really useful stuff. So never too late. Go and sign up on fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Again, as with everything tonight, links are in the description below. Sam, what is coming up this week?
I mean, it's a bit of a quieter week this week, of course, because it's international break. But will we be here next Sunday?
Well, international break, we don't usually do a live stream international break, do we? I think if I wildcard, yes. If I don't, probably not.
Okay. Although, we're not here the week after, because we were on our little jolly.
On a little holiday,
so I think
we
will have to come back next week. We'll come back next week. So we'll update more anyway. The official pod will be on this week, as usual, on Thursday. Jules, Kelly and I will be back. We'll be talking wild cards, actually. So if you are going to wild card,
right, good.
We'll be going through the best wild card squads this week. But just to look slightly ahead then to the week after, just in case we aren't here next weekend. Obviously, the official pod, again, the week after. But we will be back on Sky Sports News together
studio. Lovely. In the studio?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Okay, so it'll be our first time in the new Sky Sports News studio on the 16th, which will be really exciting.
Nice.
Yeah, so exciting times.
Good. And we have to give a shout out to our friend Praz as well, don't we? Who did his first FPL show with Miss Kelly Summers on Friday. And what a really good job he did. Sensational stuff. Really, really good.
It was really good.
Congrats, Praz. Really good, mate.
And brilliant to be able to watch it live. Well, not live, but watch it in the UK on TNT and Sky Sports.
Did you know that was going to happen? I didn't know.
I did.
Harry and I went on the big screen. So we got zoomed in. Praz was there in the studio and stuff. And about literally an hour before, Harry tweeted, "Oh, going to be on the FPL show. It's going out on Sky." I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, I did know it was going to happen, but it's very exciting because obviously I know for a lot of you watching from abroad, you've always just been able to watch it when it's gone out live. Whereas in the UK, we've never been able to do that. It's always only been available on the app or during the COVID years on the YouTube channel. So now to have it available for us to watch on TV ahead of the deadlines, and of course with the deadlines now moving to Saturday, the fact that it's going to be out on a Friday night is perfect because it means that before we lock in transfers and stuff, we can watch that.
Absolutely.
Thought Praz did an exceptional job. Love I thought it. You looked very handsome, and Harry,
you're
always excellent, even if you did rank Sterling ahead of Madison.
Did Harry
boy.
And I look more or less handsome than Mickey van der Ven, though? This is the new crush, isn't he? That's why he's in your FPL team. He's the new crush, isn't he, Mickey van der Ven?
No comment.
On that bombshell, guys, thank you for listening to FPL Family, and thank you for watching over on YouTube. Leave us a like before you go. Well done in game week 4. Have a little breather over the international break and get ready to get back on it again in game week 5. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Bye, guys.